Blog Talk Radio.
There's a place dear to me where I'm longing to be with my friends at the old country church. There with mother we went and our Sunday we spent with my friends at the old country church.
Precious years of memories, oh what joy they bring to me,
how I long
once more to be
with my friends at the old country church. As a small country boy, how my heart beat with joy when I knelt in the old country church. And the Savior above, by His wonderful love, saved my soul in the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
Oh, what joy
they bring to me.
How I long
once more to be
with my friends at the old country church. All my thoughts make me weep, for so many now sleep in their graves near the old country church. And sometime I may rest with the friends I love best in a grave near the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
Oh, what joy
they bring to me.
With my friends at the old country church.
Well, good evening, everyone. And greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I pray that all has had a blessed day today. Let us go to the Father in prayer. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, once again as we open your word, Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the Lord Jesus, and we thank you for the Holy Spirit to give us the guidance, Father, that we need and a greater understanding. Because we know, Father, that it is through the Holy Spirit that we get the depth of this your word. It's where we get the power and a greater understanding and wisdom. Now, Father, be with us throughout this evening. Guide us in all of our ways. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. We're going to be working this evening with two births. The birth of John the Baptist and the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, everybody's out here right now going on about Christmas. They're out, our stores are crammed full today. It will be now until after Christmas is over. Buying gifts and things. But that's not what we should be doing. Because this is not Jesus' birthday, really. They've been figuring, and the best they can come up with right now, the time of the Lord's birth, when they go to the years that these kings were in office, and when they went out of office, new ones came in, what they're coming up with now is actually his birth was in September. Well, we know it wasn't December because it was too cold. And sheep and all and the shepherds were not out in the fields. And we know that that's where they were at when the angels spoke to them. They were in the field with their sheep. And we also know that the reason this month was picked for Christmas was the Catholic Church did that. And they done it to take the place of a group of pagan worshipers there in Rome that was, had some kind of paganism going on. And they took it and started calling it Christmas. But look what they done with it. I don't know if one paganism is any better than the other. And that's what they made out of it. Because then they got to bringing in Santa Claus, Christmas trees, ornaments, buying presents for each other. Instead of worshiping the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what we should be doing this time of year, is worshiping Him, lifting Him up instead of honoring all this paganism going on out here. I know I went through years doing the same thing because I didn't know any better. And I kept telling my kids as they was growing up about Santa Claus, lying to them, because that's what we do. Raise our kids and tell them, you know, you got to go to bed and go to sleep so Santa Claus can come tonight, bring you your presents. Raise them by lying to them. And then we wonder why we're in the mess we're in today. And we shouldn't have to wonder too hard. But you know, when God is going to do something for man individually or for mankind, He always has a plan. And He always works everything out in the beginning, so that plan will work straight on through. And that's what we're dealing with here. We're going to be in Luke chapter 1. I know most take it out of Matthew, but I'm going to Luke chapter 1 because we've got both here. Well worded and laid out for us. So chapter 1 verse 1 says, "For as much as many have taken in hand to set forth in order a declaration of those things which are most surely believed among us, even as they delivered them unto us, which from beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word. It seemed good to me also, having had perfect understanding of all things from the very first, to write unto thee in order, most excellent Theophilus, that thou mightest know the certainty of those things wherein thou hast been instructed." Now, this is the way Luke started out this first chapter. He's letting them know where he's headed. We continue on now here with verse 5, and says, "There was in the days of Herod." And you see, this is what I was talking about earlier when I was talking about them taking the year that the kings were in office and when they left office and who would come in those years. And those times and things is the way they figured out actually the birth time of Christ. There was in those days of Herod the king of Judea a certain priest named Zechariah of the course of Abijah, and his wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless. Zechariah and his wife now were considered blameless in their day and time. And of course, now we're talking about the Old Testament here. Well, actually, the time of the Mosaic Law. Verse 7, and they had no child, because that Elizabeth was barren. In other words, she wasn't supposed to be able to even get pregnant, because she was barren. And they both were now well stricken in years. Both of them, even now, really too old for such. And it came to pass that while he executed the priest's office before God in the order of his course, according to the customs of the priest's office, his lot was to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. Zechariah was a priest in those days. And to show you, you know, the Word of God tells us that God is no respecter of person. And when we see the things that God has done in the past, hopefully we will understand and know and walk a whole lot better than what most walk today, because they won't get away with doing things contrary to God or his ways. Now, 10. And the whole multitude of the people were praying without at the time of incense. A priest back then, only in his lifetime, usually the way this burning of incense felt, most kings or most priests only got to burn incense one time. And this was Zechariah's time now in his priestly duties, to where he was now able to burn incense. And there was a lot of them that really never got a chance at all. Because you see, at this point of time in the Jewish history, there was about 18,000 priests. Think about that. That's a lot of priests. So when we really study about the law and things, and we are seeing the priests and all that is at work, we usually think about one or two priests at a time, don't we? But here, in this time period of the Jewish faith, there was about 18,000. That is a lot of priests. Now, as he was offering that incense, he says, there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zechariah saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. Well, I imagine, and you know, sometimes it's kind of hard to imagine about those today, how they would be if they was visited by an angel. What kind of fear would you be in for an angel to come to you? A lot of them would probably leave this world with a heart attack. But here this angel appeared unto him. And it says, and when Zechariah saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said unto him, fear not, Zechariah, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. Now this angel is talking to a man that really is past age to have children. Him and his wife both. And then on top of that, she's even barren. And this angel standing there telling him, you're going to have a son. So you can imagine he is fearful, but also he kind of steps across the line just a little bit, enough that he has to pay for his actions. But anyway, now, in 14 it says, and thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. Why are they rejoicing at John's birth? 15 tells us exactly why. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. And he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. The only man recorded in the Bible in all times to ever be filled with the Holy Spirit before being born. But he was. He was filled with the Holy Spirit of God before ever coming into this world, John was. And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God. You see, he is the forerunner of Christ. And he and Christ both are being called and sent here to the earth, actually, for repentance. Repentance of that day and time. To bring those out, actually, out of the law, to follow the Lord Jesus Christ, to make a way for the New Testament age to begin and the church age to come about and to fulfill the law. They both got a lot of work to do. But look how it's all been planned out. Now, the Lord is bringing John into this life, into this world, before Jesus, because he is to be the forerunner of Jesus. God knows exactly how to care for every one of us, and according to what he calls us for. And if we would listen to his voice, listen to his word, we'd find out just how much better off we would all be. But we let our own minds get into the way, and the way we think, and the things that we want, instead of what God is asking of us. I know it took me a long time to get to the point of doing what God requires of me to do instead of, well, Lord, give me what I want. but to listen to him and his word. Because that way, that's what he will use to guide each one of us. Now, and many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God, and he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah. This is the power that John was carrying. He was carrying that power and the spirit of Elijah in his life to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Getting the people ready to where they could accept the Lord Jesus Christ and his ministry. And this is before, several years before the Lord Jesus Christ's ministry started. His ministry only lasted 3.5 years. Yet he was here on this earth 33.5 years. Now, Nathan, and Zechariah said unto the angel, whereby shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife well stricken in years. Now, he asked this question, but why? Because you can see by the wording, he's skeptical. His mind's telling him, you know, this can't happen. He's being skeptical at what was being told him by this angel of Almighty God. And this angel is going to answer him. And the angel answering said unto him, I am Gabriel that stand in the presence of God and am sent to speak unto thee and to show thee these glad tidings. He said, I stand in the presence of God. And God has sent me here to tell you these things. But because of John or Zechariah's skepticism, and he asked that question, how could he be certain? Gabriel's letting him know. And behold, thou shalt be dumb and not able to speak until the day that these things shall be performed, because thou believest not my words, which shall be fulfilled in their season. Now Zechariah can't talk. He can't speak even. And he won't be able to speak until John is born. All because he's skeptic of what is being told to him. What do you think would happen to us today when God tells us something and we say, well, now, Lord, just how can that be done? We're supposed to know how. We're supposed to know he has all power to do everything. There's no reason for you and I to doubt anything that would be told to us. And we have no reason to doubt his word. But look how many today is doing that very thing. Now, in 21, and the people waited for Zechariah and marveled that he tarried so long in the temple. He was in there quite a while. And when he came out, he could not speak unto them. And they perceived that he had seen a vision in the temple, for he beckoned unto them and remained speechless. Making signs to them, letting them know, I can't talk. Now they meant, there at this time they didn't know why he couldn't, because he couldn't tell them. And it came to pass that as soon as the days of his ministration were accomplished, he departed to his own house. The days of his priestly duties at that time were accomplished, so he left the temple and went to his own house. And after those days, his wife Elizabeth conceived and hid herself 5 months. She hid 5 months, saying, thus has the Lord dealt with me in the days wherein he looked on me to take away my reproach among men. He's done things that mankind just ain't going to want to believe. And in the 6th month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God into a city of Galilee named Nazareth. Now God sent the same angel to a virgin, Mary, espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, hail, thou art highly favored, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women. You're being blessed, Mary. Now in that day and time, when you really stop and think about it, you'd wonder how a young girl, and she's just a young lady, would take something like what she's being told. You'd think she'd be the one skeptical. Because in that day and time, for her to be pregnant without being married, she'd be stoned to death. So you'd think she'd be scared. She'd be living in fear. But, and when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. Talking to this young lady. She's been betrothed to Joseph. But she was young enough that they hadn't even married yet. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. This angel telling this young maid all these things. And you wonder, how's she taking all of this? And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. No end to his kingdom. And we know that for a fact. He's still going today. He's in heaven. And really, his kingdom ain't really even got started good yet. Now, Mary did ask him a question because she just wasn't understanding. She then said, Mary unto the angel, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? How am I going to conceive when I don't know any man? I don't know a man that way. And the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also, that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. This is something for a young lady to take in, isn't it? And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren. Now, this angel is telling Mary, back then, they didn't have phones and things where they could call back and forth and know what was going on with each other. And they lived quite distance apart, Mary and her cousin Elizabeth. They didn't live close together. She had to take a journey to even get there. Now, for with God nothing shall be impossible. And here was Mary's answer to this angel about what he had told her. You'd think she'd be scared to death and be afraid to accept what he had told her. But here's her answer, this young lady. And Mary said, behold, the handmaiden of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. She wasn't worried about it at all. She said, let it happen just as you told me. Let it be according to thy word. Let this all happen just like you told me. There was no skepticism there with her. Now, we're going to get into Mary's visit with Elizabeth. We're probably not going to get through all of this tonight. We're probably going to be kind of finishing up with most of this come Sunday morning. But now we're going to get into Mary's visit with Elizabeth. And Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste into a city of Judah, and entered into the house of Zechariah and saluted Elizabeth. But I want you to see and take really notice of what happens with this salutation. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, she just heard her voice. The baby in her womb, John, leaped in her womb. He leaped with joy. Because you see, he'd already been filled with the Holy Spirit. He's a baby, but he knows what's going on. He was recognizing the Lord Jesus Christ. And he ain't even entered the world yet. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. And she spake out with a loud voice and said, Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. This is the way she greeted Mary. And whence is this to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? She felt blessed because Mary had went to visit her. And she didn't figure herself even being worthy of that, because she knew Mary was carrying the Lord Jesus. It says, for lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in my ears, this is Elizabeth talking to Mary, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. God knows exactly what he's doing. And he knows how everything will work. And that's something mankind has forgot today, and knowing that God knows it all. Now, here John, at 6 months of her pregnancy, leaped in the womb with joy because the Lord Jesus Christ now was in Mary's womb. And this had to be quick. You know, they go on about killing our babies today because they say they're not a being until they take breath of this life. This lets us know how wrong they are. And all of this killing they're doing with our abortion clinics is strictly murder. Out and out murder. And right now, we're way over, up in to the 60s of millions of babies murdered in our land. Not around the world, but in our land. And they are averaging over 300,000 every year right now, babies being killed in the womb. Unborn. And even the way they're doing it is brutality beyond description. They're using suction and all to go in and tear it apart. Take an arm, pull the arm off, each arm, each leg, pulling that baby apart. It's got feelings. There is life there. If there hadn't been life there, then John couldn't have been filled with the Holy Spirit, could he? He couldn't have left with joy for knowing that Mary was with child. But today, they had tore him apart and thought nothing about it. And we are sitting back, the church is sitting back and letting a lot of this take place because we won't get up off of our backsides and stand on God's word and reach out to the communities where we live and tell them these things are wrong. You say, well, I don't make any difference. You may not, one, but when we come together and enough of us gets together, we can change this nation. City by city, county by county, and state by state. It can be done. It was done at one time. and man got so evil, he walked away from it and took the Lord Jesus Christ out of everything. But at one time, this nation stood on the Word of God. They preached this Word, just as I'm doing today. And there are a few more. I'm not the only one out there. But I will say this, we're very few, because most are standing in fear. They're in fear of what man will do to them if they was to preach this Word as it's written. What are they going to do to me? What have I got to be afraid of? Since you went into ministry, what have you got to be afraid of? Nothing. Even if they take my life from this earth, all they do is send me home to be with Jesus. That's gain, not loss. So I've got nothing to fear. And then on top of that, they can't do anything to you or me, either one, unless God lets it happen. He can keep it from happening. And he'll take care of us as long as he's got work for us to do. And his plan for each one of us is still work, at work. And when that plan is finished, then he'll tell us, son, come on home. Your work on earth is done. And then we'll step out of this life and into the next. We'll take this old celestial body off and put that celestial body on and go on to be with him. So why should I be afraid? And it's not because I'm a minister, because every born-again child of God has got that same thing. That's why we need to be out here preaching and trying to, all of us, talking to others and sharing with others, trying to get them into church and get them under the Word of Almighty God. I met two today at the store. I hadn't seen either one of them for a long time. Brother James, you know both of them. Dennis don't, but you do. Mark Pavlik was one of them. He was there at Big Lots today. Now Mark was there. And our little boy that belongs to the brothers in Christ that don't talk plain, you know what I'm talking about. He was there. Too. And he'd rather tell you a lie than tell you the truth. But you can't make him believe it. You can't get him to listen to the Word either. He's been to my church several times, several different places where I've been. But he'd stand up and tell me a fib and laugh about it, swear him down as truth. And know that I know he's telling me a fib. And he lived just not a quarter of a mile from where I lived. He lived there in Guston until his mother passed away. And then he sold the house. Moved to Brandenburg. And he keeps telling a friend of mine that he's a good singer and he's going to come out here to my church and sing for me. He's going to be my minister of song. That's what he's telling them. But you see, we need to be very, very careful of what we say and even what we think, because we will answer for all of it. We can't let Satan in. We've got to keep him out. And we can do that. If you are a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ and you have been born again, Satan can't stand against you, because that's within you is more powerful than he is. Satan don't have any power to force you to do anything. He don't have that kind of power. Jesus took that all away from him. He uses deception and suggestions to deceive you, to get you to thinking as he thinks. But he can't force you to do it. When he comes against you with something like that, you just tell him, "Satan, I belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. Leave me alone and leave my dwelling. In Jesus' name, go." He has to go. Just stop, start thanking Jesus. "Thank you, Jesus, for getting rid of him." And you'll see he's gone. You know. Now, here in verse 46, "And Mary said, 'My soul does magnify the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior.'" You see, she's not denying nothing. And she's rejoicing about what this angel has told her is happening to her. She's not sad about it. She's not regretful of it. She's rejoicing about it. "For he has regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed." And that is happening even today. There are those that are the born-again children of God that call her blessed. Because she was. She was blessed by God to bring his son to life. You see, Jesus had to come by both ways. When I'm talking about both ways, he had to come as flesh, but also as spirit. So how could that happen? He come as flesh because his mother was flesh. She was just human as you and I. She was human. But his father wasn't. His father was the heavenly father. And he was brought and put in her womb by the Holy Spirit. Makes a lot of difference. Because you see, that way, he's not being born with that blood being tainted with sin. He's being born with pure blood. And we all know that Jesus lived his life 33 and a half years here on this earth without ever committing a sin. He went to the cross, sin free, and then took on all of your sins and my sins and the sins of this whole world. All of our sicknesses, all of our diseases was on him. That's why when we are in his life, and as he hung there on that cross, and just before he died, he calls to the Father, Lord, 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 sabachthani. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Because you see, the Father had to look away from him while he had all of our sins, sicknesses, and disease upon him. Because the Father could not look upon it. So what makes us think he's going to look upon us when we are filled with sin? No, he won't. Nor are you going to receive any blessings. That's why we go to the Lord Jesus Christ and get our sins forgiven. That's why we get into his word and start studying so we can grow strong in faith and turn away from all of our sins. Now, there's no sin that won't be forgiven you if you go to the Lord and ask him. A lot of people think, oh, well, you know, I've done so much that he can't forgive me for all of my sins. Yes, he can and will. I tell you that there's only one sin that he won't forgive you for. We got a lot of them doing that today. We got a lot of people committing that one sin that God will not forgive them for. And that is to blaspheme the Holy Spirit of Almighty God. That word blaspheme means to a constant rejection, to deny the existence of, or to turn away from them. And we got a lot of them out here today doing it. We got a lot of churches today doing it. But we got a lot of them that's telling you, all of this died when the apostles died. That don't happen no more. They're denying the Holy Spirit of God. And that won't work. And it's wrote. It's in the Bible. It's all there. Everything we need is in this word. Now, I told you we weren't going to get up through all of this today. We're going to be finishing up with this Sunday after Christmas even. But we're going to finish up with it before we get back into what I was into to start with. This is something God gave me today to do. So that's what I'm doing. Now, for he that is mighty has done to me great things, and holy is his name. His mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. He hath shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. We're talking about some mighty power here. Some awesome power. He has put down the mighty from their seats and exalted them of low degree. He has taken the mighty and brought them down, and he's took those that were down low and lifted them up. Just like he did with me. I was down in sin. Wasn't much sin I wasn't doing. And yet, he lifted me up and called me into the ministry and put me into his word and started teaching me. And it wasn't done overnight because, as I said, I grew up in a church that denied his power. He had to get me through all of that. I just wasn't one that had denied his power. nor his existence. Because even as a child, I couldn't understand some of the things I was being told. My Sunday school teacher would tell me, now you know you've got to mind your mom and dad, you got to mind your teacher and all, because you're not supposed to sin. Sunday school's over, we go into the meeting hall for our service, the preacher standing up there telling me, well, you can't live without sin in your life. Even as a kid, it didn't make sense. Why tell me not to sin if I can't live without it? That's where you get messed up. Because that's what was happening. And it's still happening today. In a lot of our churches. In fact, you're hitting a couple of them. And you know it. You know I'm telling you the truth, don't you? Now, he has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent empty away. When you don't serve the Lord God, he can take everything you've got. Or he can give to you everything you need. And we've got those today that don't believe that God will take away what they've got. But we've also got some out there right now that is finding out that he can. And finding out, if I don't do some changing, I'm losing. I'm losing everything I've got. And he can take it all. He has opened his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy. As he spake to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his seed forever. We know he did, because we, all of us here that has read the Bible, we know about Abraham and the covenant that God made with him. Now, we also know that he made him the father of all those that walk by faith. We're going to end with this next verse for the night. And Mary abode with her about 3 months and returned to her own house. Now, Mary stayed there in Zacharias for 3 months. Because you see, she ain't far enough along really in God's plan yet. It ain't time for the baby Jesus to be born. There's some other things that's got to come about, that's got to happen, which we will be getting into parts of it Sunday morning. It'll probably be Sunday evening before we finish through it all. But we do know that his plan will always work. So why is it that mankind today don't want to walk with him and put their trust in him? You say, well, we do trust him. Really, do you? What does he call us to do? And then we think, well, Lord, we can't do that because I've got this other I've got to do. Lord God will come along and say, well, now, you know, I've got to work for you. I've got this I want you to go do for me. Well, Lord, I can't go do that right now. I've got this for my family. I've got to do this. My job calls for this. My job calls for that. That won't work. You can lose it. You can lose your family. You can lose your job. Oh, now, Pastor, no, you're meddling now. No, I'm not. I'm just giving you God's word. We are to walk in obedience. And if we want his blessing, we better walk that way. Because we don't, he can take everything we've got. I've got friends right now that's about to lose everything they have and their family. I'm praying for them every day that it don't happen, that they'll straighten up, and that they'll do what God wants them to do instead of depending on themselves. But that's where mankind has gotten today, because we took Jesus out of every place he was ever in. We took the word out of most of the places. So I told you all before, the first school book in the United States was this book right here. This Holy Bible was the first school book when we started schools. And now it's not allowed in our schools. Yet our schools are told to teach about Islam. Our schools are teaching our children about the Islamic religion. But they're not allowed to take our Bible in. They're not allowed to pray. But those children that belong to Islamic belief are allowed to pray twice a day in school. Then you wonder why our country's in the mess it's in. It's going to pay for what it's done. It's coming. And we need to be about God's work and try to get everybody into the church and into God's word that we can possibly get. All right. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, as we close your word tonight, Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for the Holy Spirit. And Father, we do thank you for a place to where we can come to share your word, where we can see and learn, Father, about your word, just as it is written. Not what man wants us to believe, but what the Lord our God wants us to believe that is given to us by the Holy Spirit. And Father, your saints, wherever they are in the world, we ask the Holy Spirit to keep each one of them safe, keep them in health, and see to their needs, because, Father, we know that there's a lot of them walking in places to where if they're caught, it will mean imprisonment and death. Now, Father, for Israel, Jerusalem, we pray for peace for them, because that's what your word tells us to do. Because we know they have very little peace right now, Father, because they've done just as our nation has done. They turned their back upon the Lord Jesus Christ and went with their own beliefs. Now, Father, we do ask for peace for them, but even more than that, we are asking for them to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, as their Messiah, as their King of Kings and Lord of Lords, so that one day Israel will be known as a land for Jesus. And this land of ours, Father, we pray for this land that has turned its back and walked so far away from the Lord Jesus Christ. And our churches that has fallen, Father, this teaching contrary to your word, teaching just to tickle the ears, Father, and not the truth of your word that is leading people astray because they are being deceived. Now, Father, help us to remove from our government those that are against the church, that's against the Lord Jesus Christ, that's against your people, and help us to replace them with those, Father, that will work with the church and for the church, work with the Lord Jesus Christ, and help us to put him back into the places he's been taken out of. And work with us, Father, to put our government back upon the foundation in which it was founded, and that being your word and the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, our prayer list this evening. Father, as each name is called, we pray that the Holy Spirit, Father, will work with each one. Lead them out of darkness, Father, and into the light. Lead them from the deceiving work of Satan and bring them to the light of the Lord Jesus Christ so that all of them, Father, can be saved and find the Lord Jesus Christ in their lives and make heaven their home, that none be lost. Kenny Powers, Mark Pavlik, Amy's husband Tom, Amy and Tom's young son Jacob, for Terry Coates, for Dennis Breeden and his wife Tina, for the brothers in Christ, Pastor Smalls and the Glory Bound Church, Pastor Randy Johnson, Church of God of Brandenburg, for the Meade County General Baptist Church, the pastors there, Pastor Don Hilton, Pastor Alan Thomas, Pastor Tony Galladay, for Pastor Eric and his wife Jackie, and that little Full Gospel Church of God there at Akron, Father. These churches, not only lighthouses, but we ask you make them place of refuge to where the lost walking in darkness can go and find that light being Jesus. And that these pastors, Father, the pastor of these churches, all of them, Father, we pray that the Holy Spirit will work in and with them to bring these churches along the pathway of righteousness, to help us, Father, to reach out to this community with the word, the truth of the word, Father, to remove Satan from this county and bring this county, Father, into a revival that is for the Lord Jesus Christ and for you. Now, Father, from my three friends there in Pakistan, Pastor Haroon Islam, Pastor Barak Mishai, Pastor Zephyrin Iron, Father, keep them safe. Keep them in health. Guide them as they travel in those lands there, Father, and keep them all safe and in health. Now the Johnson family, the Lee family, the Branson family, my wife's family, my family, and for each one that has heard this message, for their families, all of their families, Father, those that are walking in darkness, may the Holy Spirit work with them, work within these families. Bring them from darkness to light, and that light being Jesus, so that none be lost. And all, Father, can make heaven their home. For Jimmy Emery, Sharon Mombillo and her mother, for Sue and David, for Palins Goodman, for Kelly Smith and his wife, Father, these all stand in need of a healing touch. Touch them, Father, in a mighty and great way so that they'll know that the healing that is done has been done by you and not by man. Now be with us, Father, throughout the remainder of this evening and through the night and through the days until we come together again Sunday morning, Father, at 11 a.m. Eastern Time. Be with us. Oh, Father, keeping us upon that pathway of righteousness. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. And God bless. All right, now. Remember, God willing, we can all be together again Sunday morning and back into His Word. So until then, walk with God, He'll walk with you. Good night now.